Well, it is a blessing to be here this evening. Not much more of an introduction needed than what he gave. That was good enough. Other than the fact my wife's name is Peggy, and the Lord's been good to children. And as your pastor has said, our oldest, he's on the field in Brazil, and he did get saved in Minnesota while meeting one night. We came home, had devotions there in the living room there at your pastor's place, the trailer at that time, and he started asking questions that night about hell, and he didn't want to go, and he trusted Jesus Christ there, and so I thank the Lord for that. God's good, and it is a real blessing to come somewhere. First of all, to come somewhere with school, and we went to school together. Got taught the same things and just still see, still in the fight, still hanging by those things that he was taught. And that's good, because so many, I don't know what happened to them. I don't know where they are tonight. And for a lot of people along the way. And it's always good to come somewhere where people are doing something. And people are believe the book. So it's a blessing for us to be invited to come up here. I don't know how much time the Lord will allow us to get to know you individually, personally. But if not, then I'm glad to at least meet your acquaintance as a congregation and be able to sing to our Savior together. I enjoyed the song service, the playing of the instruments, the young men singing. That's a blessing. I enjoy singing for God. I ain't got a voice for it, but I enjoy singing for the Lord. He put a song in my heart the night he saved me. And that song has not wore out. And I'm always thankful for the opportunity to sing about Jesus Christ. So I appreciate the song service. And without saying a whole lot more, as he said, I'm pastoring down in Arkansas. I'm originally from Florida. That's home, or at least it was home at one time. And the Lord just kind of it keeps edging me north, I guess. But so I'm thankful for your nice climate change you're having. Everybody's worried about this thing called global warming. I think it's a good thing. I mean, doesn't everybody always talk about going to Florida? I mean, wouldn't there be more beach property? Wouldn't there be? I mean, just think if the whole United States was just like, you know, Florida, tropical. Okay, he's waving at me there. I thought he was. Okay. All right, let me see this thing. Come on. I might break it. I hope not. Okay? On? Hello? Okay. Amen. All right, take your Bible and go to the book of Judges, chapter 14. I don't understand why they worry about that so much. I mean, didn't they say one time what killed all the dinosaurs was the fact they had an ice age? You know? I don't know. As he said, though, I was trying to trust the Garmin to get me here tonight. I put the address in, but it wouldn't let me put it in the way it was refusing to let me put the address in I wanted. And I don't know where it had me going, so called your pastor who helped me out and graciously to get me here. You got to understand, this place is a lot different from where I'm from. He said, cross the freeway. I'm looking around thinking, it all looks like a freeway to me. I mean, we've got more than two lanes here. but anyhow, thank the Lord. Glad we're here tonight. Glad for this opportunity. And I'm glad my Bible's not like a Garmin. You know what I can? You know what I know? See, when I put that in, and as soon as I got just a little ways from the motel, something told me, said, no, this ain't right. He didn't say that way. I immediately called him, and he straightened it out. I'm glad when I go to the Bible and I see there's a problem, it's not with it. It's me. It's me. I'm glad we got a Bible we can trust tonight. And Lord, help us this week to really get something from it. Lord, help us this week to really just be able to obey it better than what we have been. And help us in areas that we've got weak in and areas that maybe we have been ignorant of, maybe areas that we need to have a step of faith to grow in. All right, Judges chapter 14 tonight. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14. Judges chapter 14, of course, this is going to be a familiar place in the Bible for most, I would think, and a familiar figure we're going to read about and preach a little bit on here this evening. Verse 1 says, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me to wife. Then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people? Thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for at that moment the Philistines had dominion over Israel." Before we go any further, let's go to the throne of grace and ask our Heavenly Father once again for help and during the preaching. Let's pray. Father, again, Lord, I do thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Lord, we're really blessed. God, many times you allow us just to congregate in a room and to open up your words. God, I thank you for the peace that's in this land. We're not hiding out in a bomb shelter somewhere. We're not hiding in our homes. But God, because of your mercy, we have been allowed tonight to be able to be here in this building, to be able once again as a congregation to look at your words. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'd help us tonight. You know we profess, Lord, we believe these words are your words, your perfect words. And God, we confess to you, we are imperfect. And Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit of God now, you know the needs. I'm thankful to be here. But God, I pray, Father, as prayed just a moments ago, God, we need you. We need you to work. Lord, I ask God you'd help me. Lord, help me to know what to use from the notes, what needs to be deciphered. I pray for wisdom. I pray for liberty. And I pray for my brethren here, God. I pray, Lord, you'd help them. I don't know all the problems. I don't know all the concerns. I don't know what they've been through this week, and I surely don't know what they're going to go through next week. And God, I pray, Father, you'd minister. You'd use me to minister, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, in Jesus' name, amen. Oh, boy. All right, we're talking about the car. There we go. All right. Now, Judges 14 here, we had Samson. And I don't know how much you ever thought about Samson and considered Samson. It's a strange story. It is a strange story. And it's a sad story. When I think of Samson, I think of a lot of the brethren that I've known over the years who got a lot of blessings. God gave them a lot of knowledge. God put them under some good preaching. God got them around some good brethren. And yet, somewhere along the way, they decided that something else pleased them more. And I'm not saying that they became atheists. I'm not saying that some of them became immoral. But they just didn't do the will of God. You know, there's a common thing about people who walk disobedient to the will of God. And it is the idea that their situation is justifiable.
their situation. Now, they may not say that, but in their heart, many times that's what they're thinking. You just don't know my situation. You just don't understand what I have been through. And what I see here in Samson is I see justifiable disobedience. Now, that's in jest. But I want you to think tonight, why would someone like Samson just do wrong directly against the will of God? And let's think of something else. Why is it that God blesses Samson? Why is it God gives Samson some victories? I mean, in my mind, why didn't when Samson made that step right there, why didn't God just right then? I mean, why do we got to continue to read about Samson? Why do we got to continue to hear about how he whipped these people and did this? Why? Why not right here? Let's just end the picture. I mean, honestly, haven't a time or two in your life, haven't you thought about some Christians that weren't doing right, and yet it seemed like they were getting blessed? It seemed like, hey, I know they're not doing right, but look what's happening. I have talked to some Christians who got out of the will of God and were doing wrong and told them some scripture. You know what? In their eye, they would say, well, you don't understand. Look what God is doing here. God is blessing me financially. God is blessing me here. Look what this is happening here. I've even dealt and counseled with a person who is not doing in the will of God. It was very evident they were not doing the will of God. And, I want somebody to Jesus Christ. Those are confusing circumstances. You know that the heart is deceitful. The heart's deceitful. You know what the heart will make a person who's disobedient to the will of God think? I am the exception to the rule. You don't know my circumstances. And really, I'm not being disobedient. Those are the heart things that comes from the heart sometimes of a disobedient Christian. Confusing. But I know this. God's view is never confusing. God never confuses things. I mean, he looks down and he when he saw Samson, he wasn't sitting there trying to figure out Samson's heart. He wasn't trying to figure out Samson's motives. He knew every bit of it. He had it totally figured out. And the way things go is exactly how God allowed it to go. God's permissive will, God allowed certain things to happen. Yes, he could have stopped it, just like I said a few moments ago. God, he could have stopped it right then. But he didn't. But he didn't. You know, as a Christian tonight, if you want to do right, and I hope many of you do, my hope is everyone in here has a desire to be consecrated unto God, to finish the fight. Me and your pastor was sitting last night, and he made a comment that it was shouting ground for me. I was ready to get up and shout a while. But he says, you know what? He just says, you know what? I just want to finish strong. Well, that's good. I realize that ain't real deep. But you know, that's my desire. I want to finish strong. I do not want to be taken out, taken under, taken left or right. I want to be right where God wants me to be doing what God wants me to be doing whenever He takes me home one way or the other. I want to be in the center of God's will. And I hope that's your prayer tonight too. But you better be careful. There is a lot of pressure. There is a lot of opposition to doing what's right today. There is a lot of examples. There is a lot of those who would say, listen, it's all right to do it this way. We do it this way, and look at us. You better be careful getting wandering eyes and getting your eyes off the will of God and start looking at Christians. You start looking at Christians, and boy, it becomes confusing. Just like when I look at Samson, boy, that's confusing. Now, I realize God will have grace. Now, I realize God will have mercy on a person's ignorance. Sometimes when you look at someone who maybe not doing things like you think they should be doing, it could be lack of maturity in their Christian life. It could be the fact that they are ignorant. There was a time in my life after I got saved, I loved the Lord. I loved the Lord. I got saved. I loved the Lord. I really can't say in one regards, I love the Lord more now than I did then. I was so happy to get saved. I was so glad that Jesus Christ. But you know what? Since then, I've learned a lot. I know the Lord now in a way I didn't know Him then. But I loved Him then. And I know God had a lot of grace with me. God had a lot of grace with me. There was a time after I got saved, I had someone give me an NIV, International Bible. I didn't know anything about Bible versions. Gave me an NIV. You know what I believed with my heart? I believed that was the Word of God. I never doubted it. I never even went to it and says, these was given to me by the best scholars. I didn't know what a scholar was. I couldn't have told you the Bible was in Greek before. As far as I'm concerned, it's always been in English. I didn't know. I never even thought about it. I never thought in my mind that this one time was in Greek or Hebrew. No, I just believed that's the Bible. That's the Word of God. Until someone come to me and took a King James Bible and showed me the difference, and that night I got mad. I got so mad. I've been duped. I was upset. Someone had tricked me. But God had grace. No. God, because I was carrying an NIV at that time, He didn't look at me and say, I ain't going to show you no light. You know what, God? God gave me the opportunity to find out the truth. He did. Now, I believe that was a pivotal moment in my life. I could at that moment said, well, you know, you're making a big deal. It's not really that big of an issue. I can understand this one a whole lot better. I mean, by the way, I'm from the orange groves of Florida, from the swamps of Florida, and these and thous. There's just too many letters in there. And I could have just said right then, hey, this is enough. Okay, I'll stick with my NIV. No. You know what? There was a response there that God was looking for. And because of that response, there was more light to follow. So I understand that sometimes people will do things that we would, as Bible believers, say, you shouldn't be doing that. And some of them, I'm not going to say all, I know many of them had come to that pivotal point in their life and they said, hey, I don't want it. I don't want that King James Bible. I don't want that doctrine. I don't want that reproach. No. I don't want that separation. I don't want none of that. But I want us to consider here just for a little while. I want you to look at something here. How could Samson believe that he was right? How could Samson, in his own mind, live with himself? How could he live with himself? How could he do this? And then I ask you, how could God use such a one as this? Because He does use him. I want us to look at that. I want to bring up just about three things here tonight for you to look at and to think about. Hopefully you're not on this path, but I'll be honest with you, there's pressure to put you on this path. And you say, well, you understand, I have been a Bible believer 30 years. Hey, I've known Bible believers who are a lot older than me, been in a lot longer than me, get on this path. Now, the first thing I want to say to you tonight, I want you to notice that Samson thought he was right, thought he was justified in his disobedience because, well, he did it by disregarding. He ignored the doctrine given to him. He had no conviction, no shame. How could this be? How could Samson just go along and just make the statements that he makes and it seems like there's nothing there pricking his heart. It seems like there's no tears, no repentance, no nothing. He just constantly goes from one thing to another. I want it. I got to have it. You know who Samson was? He was a Nazarite from his birth. Now, a Nazarite, according to Numbers chapter 6, was someone who's make a vow and they were supposed to live a separated and follow certain instructions. And Samson, from his womb, from his mother's womb, was instructed by God. Even his mother was told to watch certain things and do certain things. I mean, he had a certain diet. He couldn't touch dead bodies. He couldn't cut his hair. But you know what, Samson? When he looked at those things, and when those things were given to him, you know what you see? He had a disregard for them. And you read the life of Samson. We'll hit some of them tonight as we go. A lot of those commands that he was instructed as a Nazarite, he paid no attention to. He was constantly, his mind was on himself and what he wanted and what he wanted to do. Just carnal, just fleshy. God given you some instructions? Has God given you some commands? Has God given you some doctrine? You better be careful getting to the place where you're ready to disregard that doctrine for something you want. Better be careful getting to the place in your life where you say, well, you know, maybe we're taking that a little bit too much, taking it too far. I mean, by the way, some people can get saved this way. You ain't got to have that doctrine or worry about that doctrine. Samson had a disregard for what God instructed him, for the way God wanted him to live, for what God wanted him to do. He had a disregard for it. He didn't care for it. You know what it resulted in? You know why God used Samson? He used his sin. Look at Judges chapter 14 again. And look at verse 4. The preceding verse, Samson said, "She pleaseth me well." Didn't matter. Didn't matter. I mean, Samson was raised by some parents who had been instructed by the angel, by the Lord, to how to raise Samson and what to do with Samson. And Samson now gets a place he don't really care. You know, some of you young folks in here, there's a good chance in a church this side, in a Bible-believing church, there's a good chance some of you kids in here, since the day you were born to Bible-believing parents. That didn't make you saved, but it puts you in a good circumstance. It puts you in a protected environment where you weren't subject to certain things, and certain things are prevented from messing with your mind and messing with you and giving you bad habits. There were certain things done for you that God allowed that your parents do for you. No, you had to personally choose Jesus Christ as your Savior, but you've been used to being around, hey, you know, that music is bad, and that Bible ain't good, and no, that's not the right thing to look at, and no, this isn't a good habit to do, and I shouldn't talk that way, and you grew up in that. Be careful. Don't disregard that. Don't look at that and just say, you know what, this over here really pleases me well. In verse 4, it says, "But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines." Here's Samson doing something that is wrong. And yet your Bible says, knew not that it was of the Lord. Well, you can stop right there and say, oh, okay, it's okay, it's all right. Oh, boy, yeah, it's of the Lord. But notice what it says. Notice the wording. That he sought an occasion against the Philistines. You know what God's going to do with Samson? God's going to use Samson's sin to fulfill his purpose. Now, hold on now. Don't lose me now. Don't right there. I mean, we need to move on because I don't want you to stay there for a moment there. Okay, you can do wrong. God's going to use my sin. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying God's going to use his sin You say, why would God use his sin? Because God called Samson for a purpose. You know what Samson was born for? He is born to be a judge, to be a deliverer to Israel from the Philistines. That's the purpose of his birth. And now Samson is just going to throw it all away. His whole life is caught up in what I want to do. It pleases me. Well, I this. We'll see it as we look at the passages tonight. It's causing I. You know what God says? Well, okay, that's the way you want to have it, Samson. I'm going to fulfill the purpose I put you here on this planet for. But it ain't going to be good results. You ain't going to like it. You're not going to want the end results. God, in spite of Samson's sin, said, you know what? I'm against them Philistines. I want to deliver my people. I want to help my people out. And I am going to accomplish that in spite of your disobedience, Samson. God's still going to use Samson, but it's not going to be for Samson's benefit. You know, God couldn't trust Samson to do right. You know what God's not going to do for Samson also? Not going to protect him from some trouble. He's going to allow some trouble to come in his life, which God could have protected him from. Some real trouble. The Lord can't trust Samson. You know what? Samson's going to reap untrust in his own life. In his own life, he's going to experience what it's like not to have people to trust and the people to count on. He's going to find out when he thought he could trust somebody that he can't. They're going to be disloyal to him. But it didn't have to be that way. It didn't have to be that way. Now, Samson started out with the right instruction. His parents were instructed in the right thing. He got the right instruction, but somewhere along the way, I don't know when it was. I don't know what age. I don't know. I just know this. The first time we see Samson in the picture, it ain't good. So somewhere along the way, Samson decided for his own will against God's will. And he had disregard for what God had instructed. That's not a safe road to be on. That's not a safe place to be. Not even for a moment. Not even for a little bit. You know what happens if you start going down that path? You find out, oh, it wasn't too bad. I'll go a little bit further. Well, that one wasn't too bad either. And before you know it, you're way off the beaten path. You're way out there. And the way back may not be very easy. The enemy inside the fort is far more dangerous than the one outside the fort. The thing you got to watch the most is your heart. Oh, the world's a problem, the devil's a problem, but that heart, out of it are the issues of life. And if you don't watch that heart, it'll get you to a place where you'll go down a road that you don't want to go. Keep your hand here in Judges chapter 14, but let's look over Colossians real quick. I want to show you something in Colossians here because, you know, a lot of times people will say, well, you're preaching the Old Testament there and that's Old Testament doctrine over there. I just want to show you something here in the New Testament before we go much further. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 25. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. You know what you have in the Bible? In the New Testament? You reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. Of course, the verse in Galatians as well. We'll hit that probably later on. But first of all, let me say this. Samson went down this road of disobedience, and in his mind, somewhere along the way, he may have just said, you know, I don't think I need that doctrine. I can get away without it. Whatever his thoughts were, I don't know for sure, but I know this, by his actions, he had a disregard for the doctrine, the instructions that he had been given. And then the second thing I want you to notice here, that could have aided Samson in his justifiable disobedience, in his attitude that, hey, it's okay, it was by comparison. It was by comparison. He was on common ground. He could have gauged himself by others. He could have looked around and said, well, hey, listen, such and such is doing this. Such and such is eating grapes. Such and such has no problem touching a dead body. Such and such has no problems. As I said earlier, you got to be careful when you start looking around at other people. You got to be very careful. You know what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17? Wherefore, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. He says in Ephesians 4, 17, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their minds. Listen, Samson wasn't like other people. God had called Samson for a special task. God had called Samson, said, listen, this is what I got for you, Samson. He told his parents that he had something special there. And listen, Samson had special instruction. You saved? You blood bought? Blood washed? Sealed by the Holy Spirit of God? Then you don't walk as other Gentiles. You don't walk like other people. You're not to conform to them. You have special instructions in this book. You should be a peculiar people according to the Bible. You shouldn't be looking and trying. Listen, as I said earlier, there are plenty of examples of people who are not doing it the right way. There are plenty of examples of those who are not willing to go outside the camp and bear the reproach. There are plenty of examples of those who will not take up their cross and deny themselves. But if you look in this book, it'll give you the perfect instruction. It'll give you perfect insight and wisdom in what you're supposed to be doing. But Samson, by comparison, he could have looked around and said, listen, everybody else, why do I got to be this way? Why do I got to do this? Because God said so. Isn't that good enough? Why is it what God say good enough? You know why? Because of a rebellious heart. Because of that sinful nature in man. It's in all of us. You can't let it an inch. You can't give it room. You got to fight against it. You've got to put it down. You've got to deny it. You've got to yield your members unto righteousness and what is right. You can't start looking around and trying to find out someone doing something that you want to do. We're living in the time of joining house to house. We're living in a time when it is so easy to have an excuse to do wrong. I mean, if it's not all the thing, I mean, we are now in the social media age, and the social media has just another avenue for people to let their junk out. It's just another way for people to put out their garbage so some Christian can find it and say, well, so-and-so does it. So-and-so's doing it, so why can't I do it? And look at God blessing them. That's a missionary, or that's a pastor, or that's the... Does it matter what they are according to what the book is? Is it God or is it what they are? Listen, you may not know the whole picture. There could be people looking at Samson and said, boy, ain't he something? And God said, yeah, he's something. He's something. but he ain't what he ought to, should have been. He ain't doing what he ought to have been doing. By comparison, by comparing himself to others. The TV and the social media, you know what it has accomplished, what Nebuchadnezzar could never have done? Though he wanted to do it. Put everybody on common ground. I mean, that's all that stuff does. It makes everybody have the same standard. Whatever the world does, they put it out there through all the different magazines, all that stuff, they put it out so people look and say, oh, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what I'm supposed to say. That's how I'm supposed to act. That's how I'm supposed to look. That's what it is. It's constantly putting that pressure on you. Listen, you better stay in the book. You better stay in the prayer. You better look at everything through the book. Not through your eyes just looking around at other people. Look at through the book. When you read another book, judge that book by this book. When you hear people talk, don't judge their talk not by what you think or hearing other people say or by the majority of people saying. Judge them by what the book says. Samson. You know, Samson was from the tribe of Dan. You read about that in Judges chapter 13. We don't have time to go back and give you a lot of information on that. But that tribe didn't do too good. Samson wasn't supposed to be a Danite. He was supposed to be a Nazarite. He's supposed to be even different from his own group that he was from. Listen, if you use the wrong crowd to gauge by, you'll suffer the same consequences. Just partial in your obedience. Don't be partial in your obedience. Pray that you be filled with obedience. That you go the whole way. Be complete. Samson took sin very lightly. I mean, we look at the life of Samson here. We find him, he makes fun of sin. He mocks sin. He goes out and he messes with something he shouldn't be messing with, a dead carcass, and then he wants to make a riddle about it, make a joke about it. What happens? Well, someone he trusted ratted and allowed him to lose instead of have the victory. See, Samson got in the place where he just thought he could just play a little bit. Play the field a little bit. His abilities would get him by. His uniqueness. I'm a Bible believer. I'll never do that. Well, if you go down that road, you will. If you disregard the instructions that God has given you, you're opening yourself up to great danger. Samson thought his uniqueness could make him a little bit different. And what he found out over and over again, that in time when he needed some real strength, you know, Samson could whip hundreds of men, but he couldn't deal with a woman. That was his downfall. Every time, you just don't love me. That broke his heart. He could broke guys' backs and broke guys. He could take the jawbone of ass and just slaughter everybody everywhere. Someone, you don't love me. Okay, what is it? What do you want? What do you want? No strength. I mean, huh? Realize Samson. Samson really needed some strength in some areas. I believe God could have helped him with if he hadn't went down those roads. I believe he could have had that strength that he could have things could have been totally different. But because he went down that road, he disregarded those special instructions, those doctrines he's given, just because he didn't realize that he didn't stick with the idea that he was supposed to be different, that God had a special plan for him. God wanted him to be peculiar for a certain reason. It was for a fruit in his life and a benefit in his life. He missed out. Women were making a sport of him. He might have thought, boy, I don't know what Samson looked like. I always wonder, was he 6'6" and... Or was he 5'7" and just normal looking? But whatever he was, he had women making sport of him, making fun of him, using him. Listen, you know what you need to do? You need to treat your sin as sin. Don't play around with it, because it's going to mess with you. And you don't want that. I don't care if it's temper, covetous, jealousy, whatever it is. Call it what it is. And you deal with the Lord with that. Say, Lord, I got this problem. I want to whip it. I want help with it. God, I need grace with it. I need victory with it. Samson, you know. I never see in the life of Samson, I never see a preacher show up. One showed up in David's mess. I see some kings in the Bible did wrong. The prophet showed up. But Samson. You know, in the New Testament, Acts chapter 2, in verse 37, I'm about done, so I won't turn you there, but you can look there later on if you'd like. In Acts chapter 2, verse 37, the wording of that verse there, the Bible says, it talked about when Peter preached to them, then their hearts were pricked. And they said, What should we do? You know, sometimes conscience is not just good enough. Thank God for a good conscience, amen. Y'all want to keep your conscience healthy. But thank God when God puts a message in our life. Thank God when God will use some of His servants to deliver to us the words of God, that would prick us and say, hey! Hey! I wonder what Samson would have thought of if the preacher showed up. Lastly, let me point something else out, and we'll be done with Samson for tonight. And I've mentioned this to you several times already, so I won't have to spend very long on it, but not only do I think Samson could justify his disobedience by disregarding the doctrine or by comparison, but let me say by utilization. He was experiencing blessings in his mind. He was experiencing victories. He was whipping the Philistines. I mean, he could have come to a place and said, look what I've done. Look what I've accomplished. Look at the victories. Who else is doing it? You know what the truth is? Let's always remember this simple thought. We do nothing. God is the one who allows. You know why I'm preaching to you tonight from a King James Bible? God. God. It is a mercy of God that took me from a little old place down in Florida, had the government fly me to Germany, and had call a missionary from Pensacola, Florida, who's from Louisiana, and put him in Germany, not too far away, and have us connect. I don't think that's a coincidence. God, His mercy sure does allow a lot. We don't want to get to the place where we think we're something special. And because we're something special and we're being utilized by God, God is allowing us to serve Him and get blessings and serve Him. Get to the place where all we certainly get this kind of shellacking on us, this veneer on us that, you know, hey, we're just a little bit better than the upper crust. We're okay. Make the assumption, since God's blessings are in your life, you have to be right. You know what the truth is? If you look in the mirror sometimes and really think about it, God's blessed you when you really didn't deserve it, didn't you? There's been some times God used you or blessed you or laughed, and you know, boy, that was just God. Because that shouldn't have happened. My heart right. I bet you sometimes maybe you went out on visitation, or you went out to witness somebody and you really didn't want to go. You really didn't want to go. And if you could have got away with it, you just stayed home. But you went. And maybe there was a blessing. Boy, don't that hurt if you think about it? Man, what was I complaining about? Here, somebody got saved. Somebody got get ministered to. And I didn't want to go. But Samson, you see, Samson here, he thinks since he's being used by God, that, hey, how can I be wrong? How can I be wrong? Well, let me show you this. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. Let's go back to that verse 4. Remember, the whole reason God allowed Samson these things was because God sought an occasion against the Philistines. He wanted to accomplish something. And I'm sure, in the perfect will of God, there would have been a whole lot of different story. But in the permissive will of God, in spite of Samson's sin, in spite of Samson's disobedience, God still accomplished partially what he wanted to do. Well, I say partially, I say because I think Samson could experience greater blessing. Let me show you a few things here and we'll be done. Come to James chapter 1. I really want you to remember what I'm telling you now. I really want you to take this home with you tonight. I do want you never to disregard the doctrines God's taught you and giving you the instructions. I do want you never to get to the place where you would compare yourself with other people for a reason to be disobedient. And you never want to get to the place where you think because you have blessings and God's using you that it's okay to do wrong. But I want you to understand something here. In James chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Do you know what Samson was doing over and over again? He was trying to get back. He was trying to get over on the Philistines because he was upset. He was mad. He said, I want to avenge them. I want to get after them. It wasn't because God said it. Samson didn't go out and say, Lord, help me now. I go to battle for you. Give me the strength now to go out here. I do this. And Lord, I know you're fighting for me. Help me. You don't find that in Samson's life. You don't find him praying and giving God the glory. You don't see him after a fight standing up there and said, hey, the God of Israel is a... You don't see that in his life. You see him get mad because someone did him wrong, and he says, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to get all these things together, I'm going to let them run out there and burn the thing, and I'm going to whip these. You see him over and over. Just his own anger. Judges chapter 15, verse 7. Samson said to them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. Samson's life is about I will, I will, I will, I will. Not about God. It's not God's perfect will in Samson's life. It's his permissive will. You know what God does? God allows Samson to have some battles. To whip the Philistines in many battles. And they're amazing stories. They really are. But look at chapter 15, verse 20. Judges chapter 15, verse 20, it said, and he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. Wait a minute. We're not to the end of the story yet. We're not at the end of his life. And yet God already is telling us his epitaph. God is already telling us the end result. God had decided for Samson, Samson, your days are numbered. Samson, you're going to an early grave. I'm through with you, Samson. I've had mercy on you over and over. You've not gotten right. You've not done this right. So what has happened? You read chapter 16, and the life of Samson there, and you know what happens? He ends up being taken captive, and what happens? Well, he one more time prays to God. He said, God, please, let me be able to bring down these pillars. Let me again be avenged. That's what he said. You know what happens to Samson? He goes out early. He kills himself along with he dies along with the enemy. He's not standing victorious after the enemy's there, praising God and thanking God, but he goes down with them. He goes to an early grave. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Give you a New Testament verse here, and then we'll be done. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 15. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. You know what? If you suffer for doing right as a Christian, hey, God can get the glory. But if you allow your sin to rule you, sin to rule you, and you suffer, God ain't getting the glory. God ain't getting the glory. God may use you. You may be an illustration of what happens to a backslidden Christian. Don't let that be the case. Don't disregard what God has given you as doctrine. Don't look around for a comparison for a reason to do wrong. And don't think that just because God uses you, that you can do wrong. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to stand here this evening. And Lord, I ask God that you use these words.